I'm Margaret Gray. Thank you, Phil. This was what I promised you yesterday morning. MacArthur's Park. Oh, spring was never waiting for us, girl. It ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance.
Why do you say dance?
Because that's what...
Easy, General.
Easy.
Between the parted pages and we're pressed in love's hot fevered iron like a striped pair of pants. Now that's the part that I want you all to make note of, Bud.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold the music up. That's the part, that's what we call the improvisational style.
All right, now, Margaret, we're starting the show.
Yes, I know we're starting the show.
Don't you want to...
Oh, all right, well, let's continue, but I want you to make note of that. MacArthur's Park is... Back it up, bud.
Now, get to the MacArthur Park.
Back it up. Back the damn thing. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. This is a wonderful song, and I want to make sure that we... I want to make sure that you're immersed in the beauty of it. A striped pair of pants. See that?
Yes.
Well, this is what you wanted me to do. MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark. All the sweet green icing flowing down. Stop it. Stop it.
All right, Margaret, what are you trying to do?
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm doing it.
Well, whatever you... So, in other words, you're getting me to hate MacArthur's Park.
Oh, so it's going to be one of those shows, huh?
No, wait.
Go again, Mr. Angle. Wait.
I'm sorry. Please wait, folks. I'm trying to break myself of the habit of going, wait.
Well, you're kind of a nervous person, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, you're always going, wait, you know, that kind of thing. But the only thing you're doing here this morning, Margaret, is getting me to despise a song that at one time... I had fond feelings for, not very long, for maybe a week. And then I wanted to hurt myself because I... Richard Harris, how are you going to get him, you know?
Well, I don't want to hear any more of this because what sounds like you're talking about is a point in your life when you wanted to hurt... when you wanted to reach out and hurt Richard Harris. That technically is a...
All right, Margaret, what's the point?
That is assault.
No, it isn't. It's prospective assault.
Yeah, that's not the technicality of it.
It's not the technical. In any event, what I'm doing, Phil, is I don't think that I can take it, because it took so long to bake it in the rain. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, but I when you were going to do it yesterday morning...
No. Phil, this is how it's done. The improvisational style, which I pioneered, is when you take the lyric and you take the melody and you just take it somewhere...
No, where it's never been before.
Yes, where it's never been before.
All right, you're taking it. If you're taking this song where it's never been before, I don't think you're on the planet Earth any longer.
Are you trying to be funny?
No, maybe.
Yeah, because you're not funny.
All right, let's just... So go ahead and do whatever it was you're doing here.
Turn it, bud.
At the striped pair of pants.
Yeah. And I'll never have that recipe. Do that.
Yeah, but the striped pair of pants.
If I hear you say striped pair of pants one more time.
All right, wait. Did it again. Sorry, hold on. What is the problem here?
She wants to know the cue on a striped pair of pants.
What has that got to do with anything, bud? Anything at all?
Well, you're missing the lyrics here.
There will be... here it is. There will be another dream for me. Someone will bring it. That's what I was trying to do when you asshats...
Oh, yeah, it's our fault.
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome to the show, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah. Now, this is MacArthur's Park combined with...
Sorry, Mr. Henry, I forgot that.
Yeah. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So who watched the debate? We have Larry Grover and...
Larry and his mother and Glory are up in just a few moments, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that it was very... I don't care. You know that I vote the straight Republican ticket.
Now, why don't you do that, General? Republicans don't care anything about people.
Now, that's not true, Robert. Republicans care a lot about people, but they want people... to, you know, you can give a man a fish or you can teach him how to go get the fish.
You can give a man a fish, you can give a man a fishing pole,
or you can give him fishing lessons, right?
No, no, no. Here's what they say about Republicans. You can give a man a fish, or you can yell at him for not knowing how to fish.
Well, that's not the way the Republican...
What do the Republicans believe?
The public... What do you mean, Republican? The Republicans believe you give a man a fishing pole, not a fish.
Well, that's what they like to say they believe, but in point of fact, in my opinion...
Here we go. Now, Phil's going to give us his whole take on life.
Damn, so I mean, you know, we really got to listen to it this morning?
No, you don't have to listen to it this morning. Look, my feeling is...
Phil's going to go, wait. If anybody...
All right, never mind.
No, go on, Phil.
Go ahead.
No, never mind. Forget it.
Come on.
I was going to say...
Wait.
Mr. Henry.
Why don't you shut up before someone shuts you up permanent?
Oh, my God.
Larry Grover and his mom, Gloria Glover, will be here with us a little bit later on in the program here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We also have Harvey Wireman, of course, with the news break. We got Boyd Skybaby Sweet Tan and Bob Bacon. I like how Boyd Skybaby Sweet Tan is getting basically his own billing on the show.
It's part of the Boyd Skybaby Sweet Tan.
Yeah, that's just great. Phil Henry Show, let's go over to Bob Bacon now in the traffic. Bob, what's it look like?
All right, Phil, I'll tell you what, we got Boyd Bob the spot to see. There's a scene down here, if you got to see this, it's a freak scene. It's Shirley, and her name was Shirley, and she got out of the truck just a moment ago and got in the side. They're talking to the CHP right now, find out if we clam that out. We're going to clam that out right down to the clam section, right down to Highway 1, down the number 1, number 2, and number 4, 5, and the 16 lanes, too. So you're trying that, it's going to be a little bit driving down there, because I'm trying to get to work about 9 a.m., going to have it clammed up and clamped in. Out of here, anyone, Skyboy,
I'm on the west side. I've got the same thing. I've got some woman there with a zipper down. And if I'm there on the west side, you're going to find out that it's going to look like a tsunami. But it's not a tsunami, you're Molly. Now let's go over to the boy. It's going to be sweet then. I saw a tight up with that. Cool. I love a talk to a la 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 la.
City of Compton, yes.
In the city, doesn't Betty there?
Yeah, it's great, man. World famous Phil Henry Show. Man, it's been a beautiful, beautiful thing out here at the El Pacifico. We've had some gorgeous weather. And I want to just mention, before we go anywhere and do anything, thank you to Carell, who had me on his show yesterday. I was on there with David G. Hall, the real David G. Hall, as they like to say.
Well, who's the guy that comes on here with you?
That's the real David G. Hall.
Oh, so you were on with what do you mean, the real David G. Hall?
Well, there's all kinds of people who claim to be David G. Hall, and they're not. But if you want to...
Mr. Henry, you just went...
I know, I've got a little bit of... I'm drinking these Pepsis. Get these Pepsis away from me, man, they're no good.
But what I'm saying is that you ordered it up.
I ordered those Pepsis up for you guys. I don't want to drink them. So I was on with the David G. Hall and Carell show. That was great. We talked about radio. And then the day before, which was it Wednesday? Yeah. Larry Morgan's Snark Monkey Podcast. That's a groovy thing. So I was on that with him. And Larry's a great guy, great friend of mine from years gone by. Larry's the... nighttime guy.
Oh, he's over on K-Earth 101. Is it K-Earth 101? Now, did you ask him about the jingles and that?
No, they don't do those Johnny Man jingles anymore.
Anyway, what's the Johnny Man jingle?
Johnny Man jingle was a story for a toddler, right, Mr. Harry?
It was a what?
He thinks it's a bedtime story, Johnny Man jingle.
Yeah, Johnny Man jingle came down the road one day. No, let me do it. Johnny Man jingle came down the road one day. He said to the kids, let's go play. When the children said, are you Johnny Man Jingle? He said, that's right, and here is the thingle.
You get out of here with that, bud. I'm not talking about... Is that really a play, or is that really a...
Yeah, it's a Broadway play. What are you talking about, Henry?
What are you guys talking about? Johnny Man Jingles were the jingles they made for K-Earth.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Well, there's a Johnny Man jingle is a children's story.
Oh, my ass.
How dare you say that about a child's story?
Never, sorry. Johnny Man Jingle.
Okay, show me the book that Johnny Man Jingle is in.
I got it at home.
Oh, do you? With your collection of bedtime stories? Boy, bud.
Hey, what's with you, Dickman? All of a sudden, you got your mama?
My mommy, no.
Yeah, I bet you got your mama reading you bedtime stories.
Just forget about whatever it is that Bud reads at night to put himself to sleep. What I'm talking about...
I don't read it. I've got a collection of them, which I peruse.
You peruse the Mother Goose?
What? What do you mean I peruse Mother Goose?
Do you know who Mother Goose is?
Not so you'd notice.
I'm going to kick...
Watch it, Phil.
Kick your ass. Oh, so you're kidding around, huh?
Yeah. You want some cantaloupe nectar?
Yeah, give me a glass of that.
Yeah, go get your cantaloupe nectar, man.
Phil, you know, you're losing your sense of humor.
Anyway, the Johnny Man jingles were the ones that went K-Earth 101.
Oh, that, yes, that was... Well, you know that I was a Johnny Man singer. You knew that, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes, I sang on the later editions of the KHJ. Here, this is what... 93 KHJ. You recognize that, right?
Yes, yeah, sort of.
Yeah, it's
Don't, you know what, both of you guys with your tin ears, I swear to God, Phil, if a foghorn, you know, if a tin whistle's made out of tin, what's a tin ear made out of?
Tin? No, that's not the...
All right, anyway, thank you very much for that, Margaret, and we'll take that under advisement here. It's time now for Harvey Wireman. Harvey, what's up?
Phil, this is Harvey Wireman, and this is Harvey Wireman's Newsbreak. Boy, here's a story that really captures your... imagination. It was a shocking story splashed on the
headlines.
Yeah, on the headlines across the country. Five teenage boys had approached a man and his daughter at night on a
Brooklyn.
Well, take it easy, will you?
Brooklyn.
Yeah, on a Brooklyn playground, ordering the man away.
That's gunpoint.
Yeah, gunpoint. Well, the whole thing came out in the wash. These kids were arrested for allegedly attacking somebody on January 7th. But New York's mayor, yeah, demanded to know why the police hadn't acted. But it turns out that the teens didn't have a gun, nor did they force themselves on an 18-year-old
Talk about woman?
Yeah, that's the word, woman.
Marty, you know, can I ask you something? You're having a difficult time saying these words.
Yes, that's why I told you. I'm dyslexic.
That ain't dyslexia.
Well, what do you call it?
I don't know, but not being able to say the word.
I have a hard time getting over certain words. Anyway, the four teens, the good news is... The four teens, which was a singing group when I was younger, the four teens. Okay, Phil?
That's nice.
All right, well, I thought you'd like to...
So what are you? So it was a singing group. Get to the point.
Well, they sang a song called Your Little One and My Little One. And
what about the four teens in Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah, the four teens. Well, they were released because they didn't do anything. It turned out that the... 18-year-old woman was there with her father, and this piece of garbage was sexually. Yeah, sexually, you know, marmalade.
Molest?
Yes, molest. So what you got is these four kids. This was exactly like that story in
1989.
Yeah. This is Harvey Wireman, and...
Oh, forget it, Harvey.
Oh, well, you know what? Well, you guys can pound it then. Pound it sideways, Harvey Wireman.
Well, how do you like that?
Yeah, how do you like it, okay?
Well, you know, you can't read, you know, and then pound it sideways.
Yeah, I'm doing the best I can with what the good Lord gave me. I'm Harvey Wireman, pound it sideways.
Jeez.
Oh, that's a fine how do you do.
You know, you should talk. You're the guy when I'm General Galen Shaw. Make your move. So...
Yes, and that is well known, but turn that down, please.
What?
That music, turn it down before I go ape. Turn it down.
All right, that's all we need from that.
You know, that guy, that Wireman, you know, he pounded sideways. I didn't make head nor tail out of that.
You know, that story is really infuriating because it is just like that 1989 story. Now, that 1989 story...
Well, now let's let everybody know. There was a story in New York in 1989, a horrible story where a woman was brutally raped while she was jogging through Central Park. It was a very widely publicized crime. Five minority juveniles, four blacks and one Hispanic, were arrested. And it turned out that those kids were wrongly incarcerated. They were convicted for a slew of charges. They were sentenced to 5 to 15 years. Another man finally confessed to it, and the DNA bore out the man's story. So these five men were exonerated. They received a $40 million settlement from the city. The case was memorialized in a 2012 documentary named after the news media's moniker for the defendants, the Central Park Five.
Are you kidding me? These guys went to jail and everything?
Yeah, man, it happens all the time.
What do you mean?
It happens all the time, man, a railroad and black kids.
Well, I mean...
That's what it is, you know. You gotta don't start wishy-washy on it, Phil.
Yeah, but Senator, you gotta back us up.
What I'm saying is, it does happen all the time, and it's a difficult thing for people to understand, especially since this whole thing went down with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, that's right. She said that they were predators and so forth back in the 90s, and that young woman confronted her from Black...
Black Live.
Blacks Live, yes.
What do you mean, Blacks Live?
No, Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter?
Black Lives Matter, Margaret.
All right, Phil. You know, of all of you here, I'm the liberal, thank you. And I'm very sensitive to these issues.
Margaret, would you get off your high horse, okay? Get off your high horse before the thing bucks you off.
Come on, will you?
I don't like it when he laughs.
All right, so what happened was these kids... were exonerated. I say kids. By the time they got out, because they spent some time in prison, and in a few cases, if not all of them, it lasted into like years.
Oh, gee, boy, that's the worst thing in the world, to put a man in jail for something he didn't do.
Yeah, and in America, this has happened, especially to minority kids, kids of color, young people, juveniles, whatever you want to call it, and adults. It's happened more times than you want it to. Let's put it that way. Because there's no thing where you're not going to sit there and go, well, what's the average? Gee, I think in America, we do pretty good compared to the rest of the world. You know, we do pretty good compared to the rest of the world.
Said doo-doo.
You want to say doo-doo?
I'm going to belt you.
Sorry.
But, yeah, so this brought up a really, really lurid chapter in New York history. Now, here's the thing. We'll get Larry Grover on the line along with his mother there from Culver City, California. This was a story, the Central Park Five. There was an ad taken out in the New York newspapers with the title, Bring Back the Death Penalty, Bring Back Our Police.
Let me see, this is Donald Trump. Oh, my God, Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump took this ad out.
Larry Grover is on the line with us from Culver City. We were going to talk about the debate last night, Larry.
Yeah, you know, and I find it interesting, Phil. You'll forgive me for saying, but I find it very interesting. You're going to bring me on to talk about the debate last night, but you're leading off with Trump taking out the full page ad on the Central Park Five. So you guys want to pile on this morning? That's right.
No, we're not piling on, but we're pointing this story. The story just broke today.
Oh, I'm sure it just broke today. I find it very convenient that a story like this breaks today because it's connected to the newspaper ad that Donald Trump took in 1989, and Donald Trump just was on the TV last night. That mother and I were watching it.
And I'm going to be commenting, Mr. Henry, in favor of Marco Rubio.
Mother will...
Oh, okay, so you're going to have a debate?
No, not a debate.
It won't be much of a debate because I think Larry knows he's in the wrong.
No, that's not true, Mother.
Larry knows he's in the wrong.
No, Mother.
Larry knows he's in the wrong.
Oh, man. So I think it's convenient that the story leaked out yesterday or today that had a connection to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump last night was on the TV in the debate. I think he did well, not as well as I'd hoped. And as he was there on the television, being manhandled, I...
So you do think that Trump got manhandled last night?
No, I wouldn't know. I misspoke. But It's a 1-2 hit to the gut.
A little tough to take?
Well, what is that? A little tough to, don't be sarcastic, Mr. Hendry.
Look, Larry, I got to tell you something. I know it's not your fault, but every day, by the time I talk to my guests, by the time I get to my first interview, I've already taken it from my staff here, giving me all kinds of crap. So please don't cop an attitude.
Larry, what I do...
What? Get a load of the radio host. What a...
Larry is upset, Phil, because of... And you put it right. The manhandling and the fondling...
May I have the phone?
No, I'm going to talk.
May I have it after you're done talking?
Yes, you may have it, Larry, or you can get on the extension.
All right, I'll do that.
Why doesn't Larry just call in with his own cell phone?
Larry.
What?
Mr. Hendry wants you to call with your own cell phone.
With my own cell phone?
Your cell phone, Larry.
Oh.
Larry has been depressed since last night.
No, I'm not.
Larry, would you stop overhearing my comment?
All right, I'm calling you, Stu. No.
Larry's calling the studio.
Do you see the phone ringing, bud?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you answer it?
Oh. Phil Henry Show.
Larry Grover.
Don't put it on the... Put it down, will you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Larry...
Put you on a minute.
Wait, just put him up on the... Larry, you there?
Yeah, Larry Grover here.
So, Larry, what we're talking about is how you... got depressed last night, and you were in the bathroom for a while.
I was in the bathroom for a while. Nobody's business, but it wasn't depression. My stomach was upset, yes. And I had, as a result of what was an upsetting night, not because I thought Donald Trump had done poorly.
Is this going to take long? Because I've got some things I want to say.
Go ahead.
Well, honey...
No, go ahead, Mother.
No, let's let him finish.
I'm sorry, honey. Go ahead.
No, it's all right.
Larry, come on.
All right. I mean, you know, you're Mr. Hendry, I already got, you know, passed around the campfire last night.
All right, Larry, let's forget about what happened to you last night or what happened to Donald Trump, because it happened to Donald Trump. I don't think he acquitted himself all that poorly. Yes, Marco Rubio was on the attack. And yes, Ted Cruz was on the attack, but they had to be.
Well, you know, on the attack, Mr. Trump pointed out very, very well when he said that Marco Rubio was bathed in sweat. He'd never seen anything like it before in his life. He had never witnessed anything quite as shocking and, yes, let's go ahead and use the word horrifying as Marco Rubio standing there, doused as if he'd just jumped into a bathtub and come out, sweat pouring down, choking like you wouldn't believe.
That's Mr. Trump's attitude, but then...
Well, Mother, really? You're trying to say that didn't happen that way?
What I saw was Marco Rubio. He took Trump out and pulled the pants.
Yeah, but all night long last night, God, I
was joking with Larry, and I said all night long that Donald Trump's getting his pants yanked.
Yeah, Mother, this is my mother. This is the woman that... I think it's very, very childish.
I don't. And, Margaret, you were singing McCarthy's Pocketbook and going, I love that song.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I absolutely. And I love the way you sing it. And, Larry, I was thinking about it. Spring was never waiting for us, girl. That's not. Oh, like the striped pair of pants, that's it. You know why it looks like a striped pair of pants?
Why?
Because he took a boat oar and spacked it.
What do you mean he spacked it?
He spacked Donald Trump's rear end.
What is spack?
Yeah, what does that mean?
That's when you smack and when you spank. It's worse than a spanking. It's a spacking.
Oh, well, your mother, you know something. Bringing up things from my childhood.
When I used to need a Larry.
Yeah, I used to get a regular spacking. I got to tell you something.
What do you mean you got a regular spacking?
You want me to go into the filthy details of the whole thing?
I taught my boy to keep his mouth shut at all times or he'd get a spanking.
All right, let's get to the whole debate last night, all right? Forget about whether you spacked your son or not.
I'll never forget
that. Nor will I ever forget it because it was one of the worst.
Larry, would you quit?
Larry, got to back off the phone. Back off the phone!
Oh, sorry.
I'm proud of the way I raised you and your father. And your father got a spank. He spanked me, so...
I refuse to believe that father ever spanked you.
Can we stop it with the spack? Now, we're talking about...
Mr. Henry...
Wait, we're talking about the debate last night between Donald Trump not between Donald Trump, all six of the, you know.
Well, these are the remaining Republican candidates.
Yes. Excuse me. Still, I cannot believe how long that cold's lasted. But in any event.
I understand. We've had it in our home for quite some time. Larry had it, didn't you, honey?
Well, I had the cold. And for the longest time, it was very I had the phlegm. Are you getting phlegm?
Yes, I am. Getting back to the debate last night. It was a debate. Now, as you know, General, because you and I were watching some of the pre-debate coverage together, they were saying that that Marco Rubio, that Ted Cruz, whoever thought they were going to have a run at Donald Trump, really needed to bring the high heat, as they say.
Well, yes, there's no question that all of the commentators said, you know, why these guys aren't going after Trump is anybody's guess, but they better start taking the guys seriously.
Well, and it was very difficult to take Donald Trump seriously because of all of the, you know, there's a clownishness about Donald Trump I think everyone sees. And there's a boorishness about him. I'm not putting it down. I think it's lovely. I think it's fun. I would say that Donald Trump is a fun and lively boor. And if there's such a thing...
May I say something?
Hold on for a minute, dear. I'm not done. If there's such a thing as a lively and a fun, a life-loving boor and slob, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what you're saying is a put down.
No, it is not a put down.
I wanted to say something.
Excuse me. A big stupid slob. That's but a life loving and life affirming pig. I would say that's Donald Trump.
All right, Bucket. I don't think you even know what that means.
All right. So in other words, Donald Trump is a guy who strikes you at.
I think I already said it, Phil. I don't need you clarifying it. And when I say clarifying it, further muddying it.
May I say something?
No, you may not. I'm on deck. All right.
You're on what?
On deck. How dare you?
Well, I had to get one cutie in. You know.
How dare you, Larry?
Oh, my mother.
How dare you?
I don't. What did he do?
He said, "Are you on?"
Yes, I'm on deck.
All right. So.
I didn't get a joke.
Don't ever talk that way to your mother.
What did you say?
Did you fart?
No, I did not. I went...
You didn't fart.
No, he did not.
I said I'm on deck. The main mom term?
Oh, on deck, the baseball term, yes.
Yeah, and Larry turned it into...
I kind of knew what you do.
All right, Larry, grow the hell up, will ya?
God. Did you hear what Mr. Henry said? And I always tell him that. I felt, Phil, if I may...
Go ahead.
I felt that Donald Trump was... outflanked, he was outclassed, he didn't know how to respond to Marco Rubio when Rubio brought up the foreign workers.
Yes, the foreign workers, there was an interesting one.
Oh yeah, he got sued, and also a conspiracy, you know.
Well, I wasn't sure about the whole conspiracy thing, but there's also the school, right?
Yeah, the school, he said it, that kids got ripped off.
That cost $36,000 to go to Trump University. And it didn't, and all they got was a picture with Donald Trump and a cardboard cutout.
What are you talking about, a cardboard? See, this is the kind of stuff, I've got to double-check this stuff.
Well, Larry, I think you should have double-checked him before Mr. Trump took the stage, because he sure didn't have any defense for it.
A cardboard cutout. That's exactly the kind of clown act that they want Mr. Trump to put on so they can discredit him. They've been wanting, just like you said, Margaret. You know, and, you know, I have respect for you, Ms. Gray, but to call Donald Trump a life-affirming slob and clown is basically putting him down.
I don't think it is at all. I said he's life-affirming.
Oh, yeah, he's life... What does it mean he's a life-affirming slob and clown?
The world needs its slobs and its clowns from time to time.
I agree with Larry. That doesn't mean anything.
Do you agree with Larry? Okay, well, fine. Then I guess that's the final word on that.
Well, Megan, I understand what you're saying, and I think she's trying to be polite, Larry, but the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump got his, you know...
You're saying that he got it handed to him.
He got it handed to him last night.
All right, let's go around the horn here and find out.
I really wish you wouldn't use that. Don't say, let's go around the horn, and then linger your gaze on me as you just did.
I didn't linger my gaze on you, Margaret. I was looking at what you were writing.
Well, that's none of your business.
Mr. Henry, it's a check she's writing for the Girl Scout cookies that... Well, just never mind.
How dare you?
Watch it. That's what it is.
So you're getting Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah, those Girl Scout cookies selling at the door.
I was going to get the Thin Mints, and I was going to get the peanut butter patties, but I... Now I...
Go get the peanut butter. Will you go get them for her, bud? All right, around the horn.
I said, please don't use that term.
Mr. Henry, saying around the horn is offensive to women.
Oh, horse dung, mother. Ow! God.
Quit hitting people, all right?
All right.
All right, so what do you think, Larry?
What do you got?
I'm sorry, General.
Don't look at me and call me Larry. Oh, man.
What happened?
He called me from...
Where are you going?
I gotta walk that off.
Sorry, I called him Larry by mistake.
Oh!
Larry, what do you think?
What do I think? I think Mr. Trump won. I think he acquitted himself very well. I think he was assaulted by a couple of attack dogs, a couple of junkyard dogs, one named Rubio and the other one, boy, if that isn't perfect, a couple of... I swear to God, if this was the 1950s and Sal Mineo was in it, I'd swear it was just a regular guy walking down the street getting jumped by a couple of punks with switchblade knives, and you know what I mean.
So it's racial?
No, not necessarily.
Well, you know, the couple of punks with the Chico Juniors.
Well, why was it that he was wearing the Chico Juniors? You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean, Chico Juniors?
Oh, you're back, huh?
Yeah, what does he mean?
What do you mean, Chico Juniors?
You know what I mean. You saw Rubio with the boots.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had those high heel boots.
Yeah, 3-inch heels, so what?
3-inch heels, so what is this supposed to mean?
I'll tell you what it means. Those boots are worn by every cheap punk in New York. Some punk who's, you know, with the switchblade knives. You know the deal.
Look, it ain't 1958, okay?
No, it's not 1958. But if it isn't 1958, what's Rubio doing with the Chico Juniors?
Larry, I need for you to act like a man.
I'm acting like a man, okay?
Larry, it doesn't sound that way. Look, I want to make a statement here if I could.
Yeah, go ahead, sister.
Thank you, dear. I forget.
I'm just telling you...
All right, thank you. We were going to go around the horn here. General.
I think that Donald Trump... Excuse me, Larry, for saying... I don't think Trump acquitted himself very well. He was completely unprepared for these questions concerning his employment record, especially the employment of foreign workers down there at that Mar-a-Lago, whatever the hell that place is. And then the big one, as you were mentioning there, Robert, Trump University, where they've got a cardboard cutout. What the hell is that?
My understanding was he has a cardboard cutout of himself at the university, and it takes the place of the headmaster.
No, it doesn't. The students can go down there and have their picture taken with the cardboard cutout.
Oh, whoopee.
All right.
Okay, Bud.
It did look to me that I think Mr. Trump did good, and everybody was cheering all the other guys. I think Mr. Trump did good.
Robert.
No, I think Donald Trump got his butt kicked, man. And I think Marco Rubio is the guy that kicked it. And I think that Ted Cruz only wishes he had Marco Rubio's performance.
Margaret.
I have to agree. I don't think Donald Trump did very well. I think that he had moments where he tried to, you know, keep the hordes from the gate. But ultimately, I think Marco Rubio was very focused and he was unrelenting. And that's what I think.
Okay, Larry, I take it you think Mr. Trump won?
Yes, I do think he won. No, I don't think it. I know it. Mother, what is that?
That's a children's program. It's a dancing lobster.
A dancing lobster? You know I don't like to see those kinds of shows.
It's a costume show.
I don't like to see kids' shows that are costume shows. Please get it on a cartoon.
Larry, you're a grown man.
Please get it on a cartoon.
Larry, why don't you get up and change it yourself?
I think, Phil, that Donald Trump, in the parlance of the time, I think he had his ass kicked around the block for in jail. And
God, that's unfair, Mother.
No, it's not, Larry. And hopefully he'll learn and become a better candidate, as in start telling the truth about things and not hiring illegal pull-locks. And
we don't use that term, please.
I don't like that term at all, Gloria.
I'm sorry. What? illegal?
No, the P word.
Oh, I meant Paul.
And I heard someone say something that stuck with me a lot. About how we need protection from...
what does she call them?
Nobody looking out for nobody.
They're called bullish, mother.
Try and help somebody or
all right, I'm going to take a break. Thank you, Larry Grover and Gloria Grover on last night's debate.
I want a cartoon!
And 4 weeks later, nobody even...
Phil Henry Show.
Damn. I just had to say my piece about it. Oh, you gotta love it. But they scared of the truth, so back...
Bud Dickman here for the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. Get a backstage pass. A year subscription is going to get you a chance at a date with Bobby Dooley. 5 phone dates with Bobby Dooley up for grabs with a year subscription to the backstage pass. That's what it is. That's what it always will be. And that's what it's going to always will be.
Yes, go to PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. I'm Margaret Gray. Spring was never waiting.
Shit is getting so personal in your verses. I want to prove
all
that
right,
I'm
man. Well, that's an interesting little how do you do there with the Grovers. Did you see what you guys think?
What do you mean? What did I think about what? About the debate.
I told you. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, what did you think, Phil? We didn't hear your opinion.
I think it was probably a win for, you know, Rubio and Cruz and all those guys. I mean, look at, you know, as Trump said himself after the debate, was everybody piling on? I mean, how much chance did the guy have, you know?
Well, he should have expected it, though.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Trump, as he goes along in this process, and he continues to, you know, dominate the field, as they like to say, I think Trump needs to understand that, you know, there's going to be a... boy, I can't believe that.
But,
well, that story, the Jimmy Savile story, sexually abused 72 victims.
Okay, did you know him?
No, I don't. I do not know him. Excuse me, I'm having a difficult time. I worked as, before I went into the Army, I was 18 and, you know, really not familiar with what I wanted to do. Eventually did join the Army, but I went to work for a local TV station up in Glasgow. You know where that is, Phil?
Glasgow County.
Yes. And there was a guy there whose name I will not tell you, but he went by the nickname of Good Morning Eddie.
Oh, this was the morning show.
No, it was a cartoon show. Every time I went for a drink of water or coffee, he'd walk by and just kind of, you know, reverse his hand and squeeze the...
Oh, my God. You tell me the guy grabbed your thing?
Yes.
Wait a second. When was this?
In the 60s, all right? 1967.
1967, you're working for a TV station in Casco County.
Yeah, a guy named Good Morning Eddie. All right.
Now, what the general's referring to, there's a guy named Jimmy Savile who was on the BBC for years. He was a teen host. He hosted some of these dance shows, right?
Yes, I think there was one there that he hosted called Top of the Pops, or a very, very significant show for its time. Jimmy Savile was a big star. British police said Savile, one of Britain's best-known celebrities of the 1970s, had abused hundreds of victims, many of whom were children.
And you're telling... How old were you?
I was 18. But what I'm telling you, when I saw this guy Savile, and I thought of Good Morning Eddie walking by and giving it the squeeze, oh, man.
So what happened?
What happened is I kicked the hell... I knocked this guy... I hailed Bop...
Slow down.
I hauled off one day and buried my fist in his nose.
Yes, and?
Well, there isn't anything more. That's what I did.
Oh, so, all right. Well, good for you.
Yeah, good for me. I got arrested for assault.
Well, why didn't you tell people what was happening?
I did. Then he got arrested. And then we shared the same cell, the same bunk.
Get out of here.
Well, not that part. Yeah.
So, boy, that is weird, man.
Oh, well, you know, he got what was coming to him.
Well, this guy, Jimmy Savile... The BBC was guilty of serious failings over Jimmy Savile, the late presenter, revealed to have been one of Britain's most prolific sex offenders. You know, this is almost like, for England, and I'm not saying that, you know, but this is almost like Dick Clark, you know?
I was going to say that.
What? This would be almost like Dick Clark having been discovered to be a sexual predator. Because Savile was pretty big, man. He hosted, what did you call it, Margaret?
Well, I thought it was Top of the Pops, wasn't it?
It might have been one of those dance shows, those afternoon dance shows, or one of those afternoon rock and roll shows. Thursday's report by former appeal court judge Janet Smith, commissioned by the publicly funded broadcaster in the wake of those revelations, concluded Seville had abused 72 victims in relation to his BBC work over 50 years. His crimes? Oh, God almighty, man.
What is this?
Raping a 10-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, my God. I wonder if there's any member of the family.
Smith said that while there were some reports made by staff...
Well, what about me and Good Morning Eddie?
Forget about Good Morning Eddie.
Yeah, you kicked his ass anyway.
Well, true that.
Yeah.
True that.
Yes.
This is a horrible story. And I saw them interviewing a girl who was on the dance show, and she said that he had his hand on her backside while she was walking around the set on the air.
While they're on, oh my God, you know what? I don't even want to describe to you what would happen to any man who pulled that with me.
Well, so what happened?
Well, what happened? She was there, but she told somebody, and I remember hearing her, she said she told someone from the show, it wasn't Jimmy Seville, it was somebody else, and the guy that she told said to her, basically, shove off, he's Jimmy, he gets to do what he wants to do.
Because that was the time, right?
Yeah, it was the 1970s and 80s, and all that crap was going on, man. I mean, all of that really, and it was all considered part of the music business, you know.
Everyone knows the story of the Runaways.
Jackie?
Yes, Jackie's experience with their manager and other young women as well, other young women that were looking to get into rock and roll. It was what was done. No one was there to protect them.
That story, I remember reading that story and just unbelievable, you know, because I remember those days because it was considered to be uncool. If you were a girl and you couldn't go with that stuff, you just weren't really... very cool, and so a lot of young women just allowed themselves to, I don't know.
Well, thanks for bringing that bummer into the...
Wait, man, is it not the news?
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of Good Morning Eddie.
Yeah, but you kicked his ass.
I kicked Good Morning Eddie's ass, and let me tell you something. It wasn't a very pleasant thing, because I used to watch Good Morning Eddie, and then as soon as that happened, as soon as I kicked Good Morning Eddie's ass, I enlisted in the Army.
Would it have anything to do with you kicking his ass?
Well, I knew that there was nothing left for me to do as a civilian. I had admired Good Morning Eddie. He did the morning show and gave the weather and all that bullcrap. And I said, well, I'll go to work for these guys. They wanted some guy that was pulling cable. No, not what you think.
Yeah, like just regular TV cable.
Yes. And, oh, yeah, see this one over here?
You come on, grow up, bud.
So I went to work. Good Morning Eddie walks by me one morning, cups it. I bury my fist in his nose. It all gets squashed, or quashed, however they say it.
It's called quashed.
All right, thank you. And the next day I go, well, F this and the horse it rode in on, I'm joining the Army. And from that day forward, I've been a very happy man. And then I met Patsy, or is it Teresa?
Patsy.
Patsy. And
you don't even know the name of your own wife?
I don't know what's in the script for today.
There is no script.
Yeah, well, whatever's the,
whatever the bullet points are.
Now, okay, so in any event,
I joined the Army and forgot all about Good Morning Eddie. I just had to join the Army and forget that he ever existed.
You know something, man? You're a freak.
I'm kidding around.
Well, did you kick this guy's ass or not?
Yes. You don't think I was in love with a guy, do you?
No, but I mean, the way you're making it sound, and I want to join the Army.
Yeah, don't like you, but you joined the French Foreign Legion.
It's not French Foreign Legion, you... Hey! Kick someone's ass here. I need to kick someone's ass,
Even if it's your own.
Yes.
All right, well, that's probably not a bad idea, but we have to get going. It has been one of those... God, this show just flew today.
Well, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it probably is a good thing that it flew today, because I came in here with half a brain, man, on this here show.
Why is that?
I don't know, just all of the stuff, the debate last night, all this sick news. Good Morning Eddie.
Good Morning Eddie.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. He is executive produced by Phil Henry for CFRA Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Yeah!